You know, we live in a world where some days you just don't know what's going to happen day to day. You can wake up, you think, well, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Well, plans can change at an instant. And that's why we need to have the necessity of staying in the center of God's will. And that's the title of the message, The Necessity of Staying in the Center of God's Will. As we travel through this life, there's many, many distractions that come our way. We have obstacles here. We have trials. Opposition rises to the surface. It sometimes seems, a lot of times, too much for us as the children of God to overcome. When those types of things come our way, the devil always likes to rear his ugly head and discourage us even more. And saints, that's why we need to draw up even closer to God and seek his will for our lives. There's many things that try to draw us away from God. You know that. You can go here, there, and see the billboards of life. There's many things that want to distract us. But we can even use, the devil likes to use a lot of times, even our closest friends to discourage us. Amen? He can even use relatives, if we're not careful, to discourage us. And that's why we should focus on the necessity of staying in the center of his will. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, beginning with verse 13, Jeremiah 29 and 13 beginning, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." What is the definition of the word center? Well, center means the middle point of a circle or a sphere. However, we know that the enemy wants you to believe you don't have to be in the center of the Lord's will. A lot of times he'll let you think that you could do these things on your own. But we dare not do things in our own strength. We cannot depend upon our own knowledge to figure things out, because the devil will take us a different route than what God wants us to take. When you are not following as close as you are to the Lord, a lot of times you become critical of others. Amen. You become critical of those who are trying to walk closely by his side. You begin to question the message. You begin to question the messenger. You begin to find fault with others. Saints, we need to be careful with that. Amen. As my mom used to say, you need to keep your own doorstep clean before you try to clean somebody else. Amen. A lot of times you just don't see things like you used to. You start to lay out of services. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Start laying out of services. You're not going to gain any strength by laying out. We need to be here with the saints of God, to worship with the saints of God, in the Spirit of God, in order for us to gain our strength in him. You start to do other things. Your dress starts to waver. You don't see anything wrong in wearing certain types of clothing. Remember, the weather is starting to get a change here in a few months. And you know what that means. The standard of dress still stays the same. Amen. Now, we know the world likes to change, but we as saints of God always want to keep our clothing where it needs to be. Amen. I've grown up in this congregation, and I know what the standard is. I know what it needs to be to dress right. As Brother Decker's where we refer, you see people out in the world, you see them dressed in a dress and dressing nice, that automatically you think, that is a child of God. We should dress as children of God. If we're going to represent the church of God, we need to dress like the church of God. Amen. A lot of times we start looking at other places that to go, That a lot of times, at one time, we didn't want to go there. But we're frequenting those places. Saints, we need to be alert to the devil and his ways. In 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Just remember, when you go on vacation, the Lord is always watching where you go, what you see, what you do, and the people you meet. I don't care if you go across halfway across a continent, you're still representation of the church of God. Amen. You know, I was thinking the other day, when you line up and you're being in the center of God's will, you want to do things to help other people. Is that right? We want to be an asset to other people that we come in contact with. You want others to enjoy the same things that you enjoy, right? It's not your will that you are trying to please, but it's the Lord's will that you're promoting. I saw this the other day, and I think it bears repeating because I really got a good lesson from this saying, and I thought it was a very good quote. When a flashlight grows dim or quits working, do you throw it away? Do you? No. If I have a nice Craftsman flashlight and it starts not to work, I don't throw the flashlight away. I find out what the problem is. And a lot of times, it's the batteries. Amen? So you change the batteries. Now, when a person messes up or finds themselves in a dark place, do you cast them aside? Hello? You don't do that. You help them change their batteries. Amen. Sometimes people need AA batteries. We all know what AA batteries are. Well, to a person that is in need, AA means attention and affection. Amen. AAA batteries. Some people need AAA batteries. That's attention, affection, and acceptance. Do we ever think about that, to doing that? To try to help people? You know, there's a lot of people out here that are in need. And there's a lot of people that just want them for you to talk to them. Now, some need C batteries. We all know what C batteries are. Those are compassion. There's a lot of people that need compassion in this world. And some people need D batteries. You know what the D batteries are? That's for direction. They need direction in their lives. And if these things are not working as they should, all we need to do a lot of time is simply sit or being around them and quietly share your light to those individuals. Amen. I thought that was a good quote. Now I ask you this morning, is that what you're doing with your life? Are you sharing your light to other ones around you? We're living in a world where it's dark. There's darkness all around us, and people are living in darkness. But sometimes we might be the only light that those people see. And what more light should we share if we're members of the church of God? We're happy, right? We're happy. We're a happy people. And I'm sure that each and every one of us want to see other people just as happy as we are. Why? We have salvation. The Lord saved us from our sins. We don't walk that walk anymore. But you know, there's a lot of people who don't know anything about salvation. But they can see salvation working in your life. Now, you don't have to go out here and get up on a soapbox and with a sign and say, Jesus saves. Just go on the workforce and live the life before people. And you know what those people will do? They'll start asking you questions. Oh, I notice that you dress a certain way. I see that you don't hang around that crowd at the water cooler like the other people. Your conversation is not like other people. That will put condemnation on them to let them know that you don't walk that walk. What is God's will in your life? The will of God should be done from the heart. It should be done from the heart. Sometimes that is different because a lot of times too many people inject too many of their own ways into the work. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Servants, be ye obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, with good well-doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You know, I was thinking about certain individuals in the Bible that were looking and maybe straying away from the center of God's will. And there was one individual that came to my mind so forcefully that I had to share it with you. And you all know the story. The ones in the Bible that let things affect them, that let them stray from being in the center of God's will. And that was David. David, a classic example of him steering away from being in the center of God's will. We want to look at 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, 1 through the 5th verse. We all know the story. I'll let you go ahead and turn there. But first of all, we know that David had no business being where he was. Where was David, the king, supposed to be? He was supposed to be on the battleground with his troops. But where did David go? He stayed in Jerusalem. He was not supposed to be there. He was supposed to be that example for being on the battlefield. But he stayed behind. And then when he stayed behind, that's when he got himself in trouble. He went up on the rooftop and he saw a beautiful woman bathing there. And instead, he let his lustful eyes gaze upon a woman bathing on a rooftop. And you know the story, how the looking and the gazing upon the woman, the deceit, what happened, the cover-up. It all worked against David. And the moral of the story was with David is that we cannot control the effects of our sin, and all sin affects others. It does. Your sin can affect other people. You might think, well, nobody cares. Well, God cares, and God knows exactly how you're going about it. David could not control the grief which resulted from his sin, or either for himself or Bathsheba, nor could he prevent the child's death. Amen. He in no way could influence God's response, and he couldn't control the family turmoil. That's when David strayed from the center of God's will. Let that be an example to us, saints. That should be a good example to each and every one of us. If we're supposed to be where we need to be, we don't need to stray somewhere else. Amen. Oh, while I was thinking the price that had to be paid for David and his sin. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, in the 7th verse, we have very familiar scripture. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, you know, a lot of people think that God forgets what people have done in their lives. They think that the way that they've lived, the deeds that they've done, God will forget. Well, God does forgive our sins when we repent and ask for his forgiveness. However, those scars remain in our lives. Like the illustration, you've heard it many, many times. You could take a fine piece of wood. It looks good. But if you take some nails and start pounding those nails into that wood and remove the nails, you still have the fine piece of wood. But what about the quality of the wood? It's not good anymore because of all the holes. We know that our body is the temple of the Lord. We should care for this body. Amen. This body was given to us by God. Amen. Our body is the temple. However, what is the body like when we abuse it all over? We're going right against what God has given our body for. What about when we abuse it with a life of alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, and other sinful habits. Young people, listen to me. Steer clear of the habits of life. Let me repeat, steer clear from the habits of life. You'll be so glad that you didn't get involved. Amen. It will cut down your life expectancy. It will shorten your life. It might look cool to go up to someone and have a cigarette hanging from your mouth, but you've got to think down the road, what is this doing to my body? Amen. What is this doing to my body? I've said this before. Thank the Lord, I've never taken a puff of a cigarette. Thank the Lord. That was nothing in me. That was the Lord looking after me. To having godly parents, a godly example set before me. I thank the Lord for that. Where would I be today if I smoked those cigarettes? I could have been dead. I could have died of cancer. It has been reported that approximately 480,000 people die per year from cigarettes. Smoking is the number one preventable cause of death in the United States. Every year, around 8 million people die prematurely as a result of smoking. Researchers report that a 30-year-old smoker can expect to live only about 35 more years, whereas a 30-year-old man smoker can expect to live 53 more years. That's quite a difference, isn't it? And e-cigarettes are just as bad. You ever see some of these people with the e-cigarettes and also the vaping? They roll the window down, looks like a train. It's going out the window. The smoke that comes from that vaping, that's just as deadly as a cigarette over a period of time. It's addictive. Nicotine is a drug and as toxic as ever. Nicotine exposure can also harm adolescents and even young adults' brain development, which contains into the early mind or mid-20s of an individual. E-cigarettes also leads to other products such as regular cigarettes. Amen. Americans spend around $80 billion a year on cigarettes. And what do they have to show for it? Cancer, 9 times out of 10. They don't have any extra money because they have to spend it on cigarettes. I read a report one time that John Wayne, the famous actor, smoked 5 packs of cigarettes a day. That's 100, I believe 100 cigarettes. If it was like 20 cigarettes in a pack, I don't know. Never smoked. I don't know how many cigarettes are actually in a pack. But I think someone said there was 20 in a pack. But 100 cigarettes a day. Most people spend about $70 a week or $280 a month. The average cost of a pack of cigarettes costs anywhere between $8 a pack to up to $11 to $15 a pack in New York City. Vaping costs about $15 to $100 a week. Now, where do people get this to spend money on that habit? A lot of times they steal. Amen. Get in their mom and dad's pocketbook. Do this or that to get the money they need to spend for cigarettes. Young people, you ought to be thankful. Don't get involved with cigarettes. Don't get involved with alcohol. Don't get involved with drugs. It will lead you down a path that you never, a lot of times, cannot return. Amen. Besides, when you look at these types of things, there are other expenses, like a vape tank, coils and oil cartridges, and charging stations. Those are just two of the major habits, not counting drugs and other life-threatening habits. But getting away from the center of God's will, you could easily fall into that pit. We're blessed, church, that we have somewhere that we could hear the truth and know the truth and to keep it free in our lives. Amen. A lot of times people don't know what truth is. They don't know exactly what it comes to that. But we ought to be thankful that we're in the blessed church of God this morning. To know what God's will, it starts by reading, listening, and knowing God's word. And God has a plan for our lives. To live out the life that God desires for us, that's his will. We must hear from him and follow what he says. I read another good thing. Now, this is really a neat thing. When you take two ears, your left ear and your right ear, and you put them together, what does that form? Anyone know what that forms? A what? A heart. Put your left ear to the right ear, you form it together, it forms a heart. Amen. Amazingly, the word ear sets in the middle of the word heart. Isn't that neat? That's pretty neat. The ear is the way to the heart. So if you see someone's heart, listen to them. If you want God's heart, learn to listen to him. I thought that was a very good thing. Saints of God, we need to be focused and realize the enemy is trying his best to set our affections on other things. And let me tell you, he's got a wide variety of things out there to go ahead and take us away from that. Amen. Get our minds to believe that we can make it through this life without him. We need God's help each and every day. The enemy will think you don't need him. You don't need the God, that you need God in our lives. But he's so wrong. We said God, the devil is a liar. He's the author of it. Amen. But God's promises will cover the entire range of our needs, our troubles, our problems. He wants us to lay hold of these promises for help in every time of need. Psalms 46 and 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Have you ever been in trouble? I see a few hands. Come on now, I think a lot of us have been in trouble, right? Yes, we have. A lot of times you can't depend upon man to take care of your troubles. You got to let God take care of your trouble. Amen. I don't believe I've ever met anyone who wasn't in trouble at one time in their life. Let's face it, we live in troublesome times. Look at our world situation. Look at our economy. Look at our job status. But you know, the enemy will still use those things to get off us, off the center of his will. I say just trust him this morning. Trust him. He'll be there in time of need. He will be there. Amen. You know, I love and appreciate the truth. Do you? Can't hear you. Amen. I appreciate the truth. I appreciate the true church of God. I've been a part of this congregation for 50 years. Think of that. I can't imagine that. I started teaching school in 1974, moved up here from Southern Ohio, got a place over on Clarendon Avenue, Clarendon Street. I lived here and been a part of this congregation for 50 years. And I love the truth. I have no desire to go anywhere else. I have found my rock. Amen. Met my wife here. I've had two wonderful pastors. Amen. And I want to say, I am one satisfied customer. And you ought to be too. That you are in a place where you could hear the truth preached. So many places out here, it's just like a little, you know, this. They just want to tickle your ears. But sometimes we need to be in a place where it gets right down in your sandbox. Ruffle your feathers a little bit. Get your attention with the preaching of the word. You can say amen to the message. Saints, truth is what's going to take. Not only just knowing the truth, but loving the truth. There is a big difference between knowing and loving. Now, how do I know that the truth is here? How do I know that truth is preached here? And you can answer this question yourself. You know that the truth is preached here on how the enemy is working. The enemy would just love to bring this congregation down. But I'm going to stand up for the truth. I want to back my pastor. Amen. The enemy is trying to downplay it, having ones not recognize it. I witness the services, and you do too. You witness the services. Look how the Spirit of God moves in our services. Amen. Look how he talks to individuals. The Spirit of God moves in and out of the pews, through the singing, through the preaching of the word, whatever it is. The Spirit of God. You must have the Spirit of God and the truth of God's word in order to get people to be moved. You can't just do it with just talking. You've got to have the Spirit move and come in and deal with people's hearts. That's how you get ones to the position they need to know. The Spirit-led singing. I appreciate our singers in Zion. Amen. I appreciate the good singing. Amen. I appreciate something that's not worked up. Amen. I like it when it comes from the heart, that it flows throughout. And saints of God, our pastor needs our prayers. He faces a lot of challenges, especially directing a huge congregation. Amen. We need to support him. We need to lift up his hands. I know without a shadow of a doubt, he loves this congregation. And we need him. We need him. He's there to counsel. He's there to pray with us. He gives us direction on where to go. A lot of times we shouldn't assume anything. The reason a lot of people don't seek godly counsel, they already know what the answer is going to be. Then they get themselves in a world of hurt. Oh, if I'd only done this, if I'd only listened to what the pastor would say. Well, God put the pastor in there for a reason. You have a good godly pastor, you shouldn't hesitate one bit to go to ask him for some counsel. Don't come back and say, well, yeah, I didn't know this or I didn't know that. You failed to do what you needed to do, seeking his face for counsel. I'll say this, and you'll agree with me, a lot of problems and trials could and can be averted if you sought the counsel of the pastor. Why? There's a lot of things that the pastor might know that you don't know. What's it say? He's the watchman on the wall. He knows. Proverbs 19:20-21. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Again, I can't emphasize enough. I love my pastor. Well, you're saying, well, Brother Sesher, you're just saying that because Brother Decker's not here. No, I'll tell him to his face. I love you, Brother Decker. I appreciate your message. I appreciate you standing up and taking the shots. He takes the shots for us, church. He's the one that stands in the gap to help us to become better children of God. Brother Decker's not hard. He's compassionate. You ever talk to brother? He's a compassionate brother. He wants to listen to you. But I've heard remarks people say, oh, he's too strict. No, he's not. He's not too strict. You ought to appreciate someone who comes down and tells you exactly what you need to do to live the life you need to live. I say there's a great necessity, church, to not only to be in the center of his will, but stay there. Stay there. Get grounded in the truth. Let's not have what we call a so-called yo-yo experience. Too many people are doing that today, having a yo-yo experience. Up and down. Up one day, down the next. It's time to get settled. It's time to get grounded in the things of God. I ask you this morning, are you where you need to be with your walk with God? I can't answer that for you. You can only answer it yourself. I say, in order to do that, in knowing God's will, is sometimes difficult. Because what? It requires patience on our part. Sometimes we want the answer what? Right now. A lot of times, the Lord's not going to give you a right now answer. You see, the Lord doesn't always work that way. A lot of times, we want to know about our future right away. Our direction. Whether we should go to college. Stay close to home. And I will also emphasize that. If you could go to college to get all the things that you need to get, you need to be close to a good Church of God congregation. I went to college at Marshall University down in Huntington, West Virginia. I lived right across the river, probably about 10, 12 miles. I was able to commute back and forth. What things I saw on campus, I'm glad I didn't have to stay on campus. Go back and forth. Might have cost a little bit more money of tuition, out-of-state tuition, but I'm glad I did. I'm glad my dad did. My dad was the one that wrote the check. We made a deal. Irwin, you keep your grades up, pay your car insurance and your gas and your books, I'll pay your tuition. I thought that was a pretty good deal. Let's do it. But I see how tuition is today. I don't think we could have made it. Especially the price of books at college, unreal. It's unbelievable how much you pay for a book. But, you know, you just have to do those things. You just have to do certain things if you want to stay in the center of God's will. Amen. I remember a lot of times we'd drive back and forth from South Point up here to church. We'd probably do it about every other week to come and be in services because we had no place to go to church down where I used to live. But my mom and dad saw the necessity of being in a Church of God service. And you know what that took, saints? Sacrifice. That took commitment. Where a lot of times it's lacking in a lot of people's lives. They don't have the sacrifice. They don't have the commitment that they should. But that's what's going to take. That's what's going to take. But a lot of times we don't know where to go, what to do, who to marry, where to live, what car to buy. But God allows us to make choices. And if we are yielding unto Him, He'll help us. Well, Brother Sessions, I don't know how to do this. I don't know where to go. I don't. Put the eggs, Brother Donald, what and what? Put the eggs in what? In God's basket. He'll help you. God has a basket. He wants you to drop those eggs in there to try to help you see what's important in your lives. The Lord has ways of preventing wrong choices. Ask yourself, are you where you need to be in His service? Lord, do I need to step up just a little closer to You? Do I need to align myself more in the center of Your will rather than mine? Is there room? Is there room to move up? Is there things in my life that I need to cast aside in order for me to get closer to You? Only You can answer that question. I can't answer it for you. Do you have a need this morning? I know I probably was kind of jumping all around the place this morning, but these are the thoughts that the Lord gave me. Are you in the center? Do you see the necessity of being in God's center of His will?